as part of that. Alrighty. It is what we call Compassion Month here at this church. This is a time that we focus on some of the compassion ministries that our church is involved in. We have, if you might have noticed, those of you guys who've been here before, this morning we have some of the folks from the Augusta Rescue Mission with us today. Let's give them a very warm welcome. Very good to have you guys with us. You're going to hear a lot from them in just a moment, but I just want to talk very quickly for just a few moments about outreach. At the end of this month, on the 23rd, we are receiving a special offering, which is going to go toward our compassion ministries and also toward knocking that building down and maybe building something else, as we've been talking about. And what are compassion ministries in this church? These are some of the things we've been involved in the last few years: addiction rehabilitation, visiting centers that do that, bringing the goodness of God to them, nursing homes, street ministry, our dry goods pantry, our work with the homeless at the Augusta Rescue Mission, local missions, translocal missions in other countries, members in need receiving care from that fund. We've worked with three different organizations that help fight human trafficking. We've sent funds and prayer toward disaster relief and also church planting, both in America and outside of America. And those are a few of the things that our church has been involved in when we talk about compassion ministry, special offering, and that sort of thing. And as I do every year when I talk about this, I like to talk about the values of this church being as likened to a three-legged stool. Have you ever sat on a stool with just two legs? You can't. If one is broken or missing, you will fall and land on your butt and hurt yourself. So a good stool has either four or three legs. And if you imagine the values of this church being like a three-legged stool, we need all three. Our three central values are worship, community, and compassion. So worship is our relationship with God vertically. It's worship, it's studying of the scripture, those sort of things. And our next value is community, and that's the fire we're going to have in a couple weeks, and the home groups that we have, and our relationship horizontally with one another, where we bring each other meals and, you know, give each other cars and, you know, help one another out and watch each other's kids and visit each other when we're sick. That's community. And then the third of our values, worship is one, community is two, and then compassion is our third value as a church. Compassion has to do with those who are outside of this church. And we exist to worship God, and we exist to welcome those who don't know Him into the family of God. So that has to do with all the things I just mentioned to you. And if we only do two of those things, but we don't do the other, like what if we were a church that did really good community and really good compassion, but we didn't worship? We'd have no depth, would we? We'd have a lot of, you know, width, but no depth. Or what if we were a church that worshiped our faces off and we're really good at this and we did really great with the Southern potlucks, but we just kept it all in here? We'd be very, very insular and focused on ourselves. So it's really important that we have a balance of those things, and we really try to do that in this church. And I just want to show a few passages and comment on them as we talk about caring for the poor. I was a Christian for about 5 years. I had read the whole Bible, preached, led people to Christ, done a lot of things, but I had an experience in my last year of school where I met a homeless man, and I walked away from that experience realizing that despite all my study, all my knowledge, and all my service in the church, I did not care at all about the poor. And I went through a long, long experience, and it was several days. I spent about 4 days, and actually the Lord shut my mouth. I came under such conviction and didn't speak much for 3 or 4 days. And I came under such a conviction, and the Lord put on my heart that His heart for the poor was a non-negotiable for a Christian and a non-negotiable for a church. And it doesn't matter how many of these experiences I had in the presence of God, if it was always and only about me, I was very shallow and very self-focused. So I began going down to homeless missions immediately, and since then have met thousands of homeless men and women in that time. And I just want to briefly share a few passages to ground this in Scripture, and then we're going to have Chris and our gentleman from the mission talk to us a little bit. The first passage, if we could put those up there, is in Leviticus 19. This is a passage that it explained to the Jews, and this is a very important passage. It says when you mow your fields and when you glean your crops, they said cut the field in an oval, not in a rectangle, and leave the four corners. And the reason for that was those four corners are devoted so the poor and the alien and the immigrant could come and take and glean from your harvest and have something. And so there was a lifestyle built in to the faithful Jew that not just on Compassion Month, but in every harvest from, the fruit of every time they sowed and tilled the ground, every part of their life, there was some of that was devoted to the poor. So it wasn't just a one-time thing at Christmas or Operation Christmas Child or Compassion Offering. This is very important. It was sewn into the fabric of their society and their religion that they cared for the poor. It was a normal thing for children to grow up and understand this is set aside for those in need. God has given us so much. The next passage is in Matthew 25, the sheep and the... At the end of time, Jesus says he calls all to him and he separates them into two groups, sheep and goats. And he comes to the sheep and he says, enter into my kingdom and rest. You've done amazing things. When I was poor, you gave to me. And when I was sick, you came to me and you prayed for me. And when I was in prison, you visited me. And when I was thirsty, you gave me water. And those people say, Lord, when did we ever do that? Well, we don't remember doing that. We never saw you. And do you remember what Jesus says? He says, well, whenever you did it to the least, when you did it to the least person, you did it to me. And then he goes to the goats and he says, depart from me. For when I was poor, you didn't come to me. When I was sick, you didn't come to me. When I was hungry, you didn't feed me. And they say, Lord, what are you talking about? We never saw that. And he said, as much as you did not do it to the least of these, you did not do it to me. This is a very, it's a pretty edgy parable, isn't it? But it tells us as believers in Christ that we are to be about caring for those without. And then finally, Galatians 2:10, as Paul is discussing planting a church, he tells those people involved in that passage, he says, we did this one thing when we were sent out to church. We remembered the poor. We did this one thing when we were sent out as a church. We remembered the poor. So that just gives us in the fabric of Christianity and starting churches and being a church that us caring for those who are poor and sick and lost and homeless and in prison and, again, immigrants and all those orphans, all those groups of those without that we would call the poor in spirit, is precious to the Lord. And I decided at that moment that I shared with you that I was going to spend my life somehow caring for the poor and homeless. And then our church, very early on, as soon as I found a spare 3 hours in the week, I started with working with these different missions. And we've been working with the Augusta Rescue Mission for, I think, since 2004, visiting them once or twice a month and building relationships. So it's been over 20 years that we have been involved in that mission. And we have an incredible, incredible ministry. I want to invite Chris Jones and Chris Quinn to come on up now first. Let's give them a hand. We'll start with Chris Jones. Chris is the director, Yoda, boss. And Chris, really good to see you again. Tell us about yourself and the Augusta Rescue Mission.
Hi, I'm Chris.
Come on
Lynn.
Up to the front there.
Chris Jones.
I am from the Augusta Rescue Mission, executive director. I spent 7 years as the chaplain and program manager and then was recruited to be the executive director there and have now done that 8 years. I grew up at the Rescue Mission. I started in my 20s. I'm now in my 40s and have just seen the Lord do so much there in me and amongst these men in our community. Augusta Rescue Mission is a really powerful and beautiful place. I want to say this first. I love Vineyard Community Church. I mean this. We get to come once a year. We should come more often, maybe just personally, and show up. I told my wife last night as we were eating dinner, I said, I'm going to the Vineyard, and I always cry when I'm there. There's just something about being in the renewal atmosphere and in the beautiful worship. And so I hope our men who are here today have experienced some of that as well. It's just the songs and the humility that you carry as a people is very present, and I recognize that, and I need it. Amen? And so thank you. Anyway, I'm Chris, and Jeff couldn't make it today. He's actually now the pastor at St. James United Methodist, or St. James Methodist over downtown, and so he's at church.
Jeff is their chaplain.
Jeff is our program manager and chaplain now, and he was here with us last year. I did bring, though, my son Josiah, who's 14, and he's in the back. And last night he said, "Dad, can I go with you?" I was like, "Absolutely. This is a great opportunity to come and see what we do." So anyway, that's you want me to say any more than that?
Yeah, or? Just give us what happens at the mission. Yeah. There's food, there's a gym, there's a bunch of great guys, there's chapel.
Sure.
Tell us about kind of the program and what, and stand right up there so the camera can get you a little bit better.
Good deal. So we are a one kind of a one-stop shop type ministry for homeless men in our community. We start with an overnight emergency shelter that we call the Rescue Shelter. And that is for 18-year-old men who need to get off the streets. They're allotted 15 nights every 3 months. So every 90 days, they can come back and check in. And while they're there, they get basic resources, a bed to sleep in, showers, breakfast and dinner, access to laundry room, and chapels, as you know. You guys come in the evenings, you get to meet some of those overnight clients. And the goal is that they receive rest and hope and kindness. And then we do hope that they become interested in our actual program. So that segues into the next part. We run a life transformation program, which starts with phase one, 6 months long. And the residents are in chapel, life skills classes, employability classes online and in person. On Tuesdays, we do a discipleship. On Thursdays, we do recovery work. And in this portion of the program, they're actually in job training as well. So they learn to do lawn care, food service, hospitality, laundry services to get them ready for work. Once they're done with phase one, they graduate into phase two, which is the work portion. And there, their job is to find work. And once they find work, they're required to save, I think 80% is the number now, 80% of their income. Everything is free to these men the whole time they're there. So we provide what they need. And in phase two, they're saving money, they're going to work, putting their life skills into play, but they're also in our classes as well. We just last year started a new phase three. We canceled the old phase three and created a new one, and that is now an internship, which you've met Kelvin, and he'll share some today, but Kelvin became an intern, and at that point, you have different responsibilities, different requirements, and you serve at the mission at that point. So those are the three main things we do with programs. We also run a laundry room called Fresh Start Laundry, which we started in 2023. We renovated a room that was a laundry space. It was really old and kind of nasty, and we decided to add more laundry space there and more laundry rooms and decorate. And we had the idea of, why don't we just open this to the public? We wonder if there's anyone who needs to do laundry. And sure enough, we opened Tuesdays and Thursdays, and we were booked out like a month or so in advance. We really started to get a lot of clients through the school system. Richmond County posted that we opened a laundry room, and so moms were actually coming to do laundry for their kids. Hurricane Helene hit, and from there, the week after, we were open 5 days a week. And so Fresh Start Laundry is open 5 days a week, three times a day. We do 126 or 130 loads of laundry a month. You know, multiply that by 12, that tells you how much laundry is being done at the Augusta Rescue. And then last but not least, the last kind of outreach or service we do is at Thanksgiving, which is, you know, this is my favorite event of the year, and I'm not making that up. My second favorite is really the Thanksgiving we do at Augusta Rescue. We feed the public. We also do a meals delivery program. We go out to about 250 people and bring food and Thanksgiving meals to their homes, and we also serve on-site about 150 to 200 and give resources, blankets, jackets, boxes of food on Thanksgiving Day. And we've done that 30-something years as well.
And that's staffed by volunteers from churches, but it's also staffed by men that were homeless a few weeks or months before that. So you're making disciples and then sending disciples out.
Absolutely. These, you know, our men in the program are learning and growing. They're in a discipleship training, but then they give back and they serve. In fact, I think we're going to do a box with you guys for Christmas this year and collect. And so Yeah, that's Augusta Rescue Mission in a nutshell. There's so much more we could do. I will say last year, we also got a grant to transform part of our gym into an activity center. So the initiative in January moving forward is also health and wellness. I think I might have mentioned this last year. We're kind of in the early stages of it. Workout equipment, activities. They're going to be in a 30-minute course every 2 weeks on nutrition and just taking care of yourself. I think we're calling the course Restoring the Temple. And just calling our whole body, mind, spirit, amen, into order with Jesus Christ. So, amen.
Beautiful. Chris, tell us, if you could say something without a filter, I want you to say something without a filter.
I've never been given this opportunity, so this sounds good.
To a local church that about ministry to the poor.
Oh, wow.
What would you tell us?
I would say, without a filter, that... you use the scriptures. Ministry to the poor is truly ministry unto Jesus. And I would actually argue, and I'm a worshiper, I love the presence of God. And if you know, like the priesthood, the Zadok priesthood, their role is to minister unto the Lord, right? We believe in song and presence. I believe that is, in essence, the calling of the community of Christ is to minister unto Jesus in this manner to serve the poor. And I'll say this without a filter. A ministry or church that's not ministering to the marginalized, the hurting, the brokenhearted, or the poor are not doing the work of Jesus. They're just not. I would say it like this. They're just lazy. This is what I would say to my church, I guess, is it's a lazy church because we have all this stuff that's filling us. And our needs. We have needs too. I mean, anybody in the room have needs, like emotional? I think I needed some inner healing. When you did one of the songs here today, I was like, man, that touched my soul. We need it. But... the church was always sent, amen, and to go, and in the anointing of Christ, and that's Luke 4. He's anointed to proclaim and preach the good news to the poor, to heal the brokenhearted, to give sight to the blind. I mean, one of my favorite parts of that verse is to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor, and we are the face and hands and feet of Jesus. And so I would say a church that isn't, God forgive me, is a lazy church. It's a church that actually, like the Dead Sea, right? You're just kind of, you have to give and you have to do it unto the Lord. And I think I had a very similar experience as Pastor Jeff, is just thinking about myself, doing life because that's what we need to do to survive. But then you start looking at people who may even have consequences, like some of their life and the reason why they're homeless, it's like a consequence of some decisions they've made. But regardless, hasn't the mercy and grace of God impacted our lives despite our choices? It's the gift Amen. Of God. And so, anyway, without a filter,
Amen.
If you're not serving the Lord, I think you need to sit before God and think outside of yourself. Amen? And start giving to the poor.
Bro, love you.
I hope you invite me back.
That's great.
You probably said tougher things.
No, that's you were nice.
Thank you.
You were nice. Amen to that.
Amen.
Why don't you hand Chris Quinn that microphone?
Yeah.
And Chris Quinn, let's give him a big, big, big hand. Chris has not only is he a great guy. If you have not gotten to know him, you should. But him and Nancy came into the church a few years ago, and he immediately started going to I think all the outreaches we did, and had a particular love for what happens down at the Rescue Mission. So a couple of years ago, I asked him if he would give leadership to that, and he took it, and he has taken it to a place that in our 20 years, I've never seen it so active and powerful, and let me say this, joyful. It is not a dread and misery to go down to the mission. It will fill you up, and Marcia will bring chocolate that will fill your belly up. But moreover, the presence of the Lord that moves down there, and Chris, you've done an outstanding job. Just want to say that over and over. We have a great team. So, Chris, why don't you talk to us a little bit about your experience, a few minutes, and then we're going to have some of the guys share, I think. Go for it.
Yeah, it's really exciting to be a part of a church that is compassionate. I'm so thankful for your leadership there at the mission. I'm glad your son is here, Josiah, and I see Luke and Austin and Tyler and Cody and... Let's see, we got Kevin and Joseph and Ineas and Butch, Big Butch. Good to see all you guys in our house.
Yeah.
You know, the compassion part is really a reason that we chose this church. I came from a poor family, and I remember through the years with my mom that the church came along and provided things. That was always a great ministry. You know, my favorite book is, one of my favorite books is Matthew. I think a lot of you guys like Matthew too, right? It's the Word of God. You know, refreshes the soul. Like honey from a honeycomb, right? Well, Matthew was born in Capernaum, right? That little town up on the north shore of the Sea of Galilee, right near the Jordan River. It was a fishing village. It still is today. And it was a crossroads. Not only was it the home for Matthew, but it was the home for Peter, for Andrew, James, and John. Anybody else? Anybody else? And Jesus. He called it home. And Jesus was really homeless. Okay, Ben? Now, sometimes he probably stayed with Peter at Capernaum, but when he was out and about, he had a tent or probably was invited in. He was homeless, you know. But there in Capernaum, he started his ministry by saying what? Repent.
The kingdom of God is here.
For the kingdom of God is near. Didn't he say that?
Amen.
And that was a fulfillment of a prophecy that said the people sat in the darkness and they saw a great light. The darkness trembles. You know, Capernaum was a dark place. It was a desolate place, depraved place, probably some other D's, distressed or whatever. And it's very similar to where we live. It's similar to a lot of places everywhere, right? And Jesus went into those places, Capernaum and throughout that area, the dark places, and he brought light. The darkness trembled. Really like that idea from that song earlier. And he brought light. You know, there at Capernaum, he did a lot of his miracles. When the centurion said, just say the word and my servant will be healed. Remember that? You remember when the paralyzed man came down through the ceiling and he said, is it easier to say your sins are forgiven or get up and walk? Jairus' daughter, you know, he was delayed and he said, little girl, this is what I say to you, get up. He healed Peter's mother-in-law. So there in those dark places, he was there. Kevin, the last time we came to the mission, you guys remember Kevin speaking about our bodies being the tabernacle from 2 Corinthians 5, right? Then he explained that a tabernacle is a tent, and it's temporary. It's just temporary. And he went on to say, Kevin, that if we repent, God makes all things new. He gives us new creation, gives us a new body. That's exciting to think about. And that's the message that we bring to the mission, right, guys?
That's right.
Kevin did a beautiful job with that. I think it's interesting that God, the Lord Jesus, comes into those dark places, and I think it's there that people understand their need. They understand their need more than he didn't spend as much time in places where people were comfortable. Had all the answers, right? Yeah. And that's a message for us. He comes into the dark places when we're broken, when we realize we're not strong. He meets our need. Now, Terry was shared a message at the last one also where she talked about a need that she had. She said, I understand God's love more powerfully because I think about the love I have for my children. Terry, you know, loves her children. And she said that she worries about her children. And she shared that her need was to give that up to Jesus. So, and her, and she knew that God would take care of them. Isn't that a powerful message? So we went on and talked about that night. You guys remember this. I asked the guys, the men, the mission men, what are the things that you worry about? Remember that interchange we had? Kelvin and Joseph, and all you guys? And a lot of the guys said, well, and I think if I asked you all this question, we'd all get, you would have similar responses as they had that night. But they said, we're worried about money and finances. I think all of us would probably say that, right? If you had a room full of millionaires or billionaires, they'd probably say, I'm worried about money and finances too. We don't ever seem to have enough. But they're on a different level, those guys at the mission. Now, we have some money. A lot of those guys have no money. Okay? Nothing. They also said they're worried about jobs. You know, a lot of us worry about our jobs, don't we? We don't like it. There's, you know, we don't get paid enough. They don't treat me well. I don't like my boss. All those kind of things. But we have a job, most of us. They have no job. Another thing that they talked about, remember this, man, family. Family is important, right? We worry about our family. We worry about our kids. Are they doing okay? Are they following Jesus? We worry about our parents. You know, are they doing okay? But, you know, a lot of them, their families don't want anything to do with them. Isn't that sad? That's awful. With that brokenness being like that. And also they talked about having needs for food, shelter, clothing. You know, most of us are okay there. It's a big need for them. So the beautiful thing in my experience, and I think all the others that go there, on that third Sunday, is that it kind of checks us. It gives us a perspective. Mm-hmm. You know, I have worries, but, you know, not like that. And it's a blessing to me, and I think to the others that come from here, that they teach us a lot. You guys teach us a lot. You teach us what it means to be poor in spirit. You teach us what it means to mourn. You teach us what it means to even hunger and thirst for righteousness. You teach us what it means to have a pure heart. We learn a lot from you guys, and we look forward to coming. So thank you for always. I'm reminded of the verse also in 2 Corinthians 5 says, Christ's love compels us because we're convinced that one died for all. Therefore, all died. He died for all that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for us and rose again. The idea of dying to ourselves, that's part of the compassion. That word compel in the Greek, I hope I'm right about this, means narrowing the gap. You know, think about kayaking. I'm talking to all you kayakers in here. Kayaking down a river where the shores are broad, the river is lazy, and all of a sudden it starts narrowing the gap. And the water's powerful. The water is exciting. God's love compels us.
Amen. Doesn't it?
We only know if we grasp how much he loves us, how wide and deep and long and high is the love that he has for us. I know we're going to have some guys share, right?
Yes.
I would like to share one.
Share one more thing.
For a second?
You got it.
We've got to get prepared here.
Oh, I know about those.
Well, I'm ready for the mic again. Thank you for
yes,
the help.
You're very welcome. Share that with us, and then we're going to have the guys and give them the rest
okay.
of our time.
My name, well, this is one of the guys.
Amen. I'm ready.
My name is Joseph Stearns, born in Long Branch, New Jersey, raised in South Augusta. I am a three-generation alcoholic. My dad was in the military. We moved around a lot from Europe to Georgia. I was raised in church by my mother, went to Victory Baptist Church. God saved me from my own self a few times. I attempted to kill myself three times. Each time woke up, God told me each time, it is not yet your time. The first time I tried to put myself to sleep with sleeping pills. The second time was trying to kill my liver. And the third time I tried to blow my brains out. God always told me the serenity. God grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change and the courage to change the things I can and the wisdom to know the difference. Then he shared on one of those occasions, he just opened the Bible and came to this verse. Just, you know, how you sometimes just flip open the Bible and there's a word there for you. Well, this is 1 Samuel 10:6-7. And the Spirit of the Lord will come upon thee, and thou shalt prophesy with them and shalt be turned into another man. And let it be when these signs are coming to thee that thou do as occasion serve thee, for God is with thee. That's his testimony. Isn't that amazing what God has
Amen.
Done?
Thank you. Thank you. I want to thank Chris and Nancy again, just an awesome, awesome leadership over that ministry. Chris, we've got another 15, 20 minutes, and I would love to have you invite some of the guys to come up and
yeah.
share a bit with us.
Man, that's awesome, Chris. Thank you for sharing that. And what a powerful verse. Amen. Our program is called Life Transformation Program, and we believe the old has passed away and the new has come. So I'm going to invite a few new men up. They've been at the mission for a while, but they've been renewed. And so, Kelvin, if you wouldn't mind coming up.
Yeah, Kelvin.
Luke. Come on, Luke. And Joseph, who we just heard about. Come on, Joseph. Amen. We're going to kind of do this interview style. I feel like it works best with how, you know, with our time in this situation. But I want to say that a few months ago, we celebrated what we called Smoke-Free Day. And it's because three of our men quit smoking while at the rescue mission. Not
yeah.
only did they quit drinking and drugs, quit smoking. And a couple of these guys are standing in front of you right now. Who smoked when you came to the mission? And who's quit since then? Yeah, there you go. And Luke changed hands. But what's awesome is they did it on their own accord. We just kind of prayed for them and coached them a little bit, but they made up their minds. And so we did a smoke-free day, and we smoked meats on our rec tech at the mission and ended up celebrating them. And the men who were there who continued to smoke actually stopped smoking for one day in honor of these men.
Cool.
So that's just a big deal to me. I really enjoyed that. So we have three men kind of in three different phases of the program. Our newest guys. Well, actually, if you are from the Augusta Rescue and in the program, will you please stand up really quickly? So Ignas, and if you know Ignas, but thank you. The three standing here are the newest guys, and I asked each one of them if they wanted to share, and there was kind of like so we're not going to let you share. We're letting you off the hook today, praise God, but if you wouldn't mind having a seat. And then, of course, Donald just finished phase one, graduated into phase two, and is starting work this week coming up. So let's give him a hand. Well done. All right. So Luke was here 30 days, and he shared last year. He was here like maybe 2 weeks, fresh.
I remember that.
Didn't even know if he was sticking around, and he's been here this whole time. So let's start with Luke. Luke, if you wouldn't mind, I'm going to just hand you the mic. Come on up and tell us who you are, the situation you were in when you first got to the Augusta Rescue Mission, and then I'll follow up with another question.
My name's Luke. What brought me to the mission was I was working but wasn't making enough money. I had lost my place and was living in a hotel, and that does not work. I would have like $20-$30 after I paid the 2 weeks, and that's not going to feed you. So I left, and I knew I needed to make a change, and this was definitely the change I needed to make.
So, you're from the Pacific Northwest, so you're like really far from home. And he tells the story of how he was on a train, I think, in D.C., and someone said, you need to go down to Augusta. There's a mission down there. And he ended up finding his way to Augusta and sticking around and getting stuck in Augusta. I think we all get stuck in Augusta eventually and find out God's like, you're going to stay and do good work there. Amen. But so, Luke, you were homeless. You entered the program. Did you have a Christ background? Did you have any Christianity in your life? I remember you sharing with me at one point, like, you didn't know God could be in every part of your life. So tell us a little bit about what you've received from Augusta Rescue. You're in phase two now, looking for work, doing interviews. So in the first phase, first 6 months, what have you received? What has God done in you? Maybe what's your big takeaway? And you cannot quote Michael Jackson lyrics today, because I know you wanted to quote Man in the Mirror. I know you did, but okay.
All right, so I guess what I've gained is I was never like I grew up in the church, but I definitely wasn't Christian, and so it's opened me up spiritually and given me a hope that I didn't know could even exist, and I have a future now that
Amen.
I know is good.
Amen. Praise God. Y'all give Luke a hand. I love Luke. I remember a moment in chapel. I lead the chapel on Monday mornings, and I remember there was a moment where the Lord was just, his presence was very evident, and Luke was there, I think, experiencing God's kindness and goodness, and he looked up at me, and I hope I don't embarrass you, but he had, like, tears in your eyes. He had this look on your face, and I said, I bet you didn't know that you'd be a man of God at this point in your life. And he was like, I had no clue. And just the way I've watched God lead him and guide him and transform him and also bring the part of his identity out that's so strong that's made by God. You know, the God who knew us when we were in our mother's womb. Amen. And so I'm very proud of you, Luke. And y'all keep him in prayer. He's actively going to interviews and looking for work. And he serves at the rescue mission in our kitchen and does a lot of serving in the kitchen and helping make sure that kitchen is stable. So God bless you. Amen. All right, I'm going to come over here to Joseph and come on up. And Chris read Joseph's letter. And that was Joseph. I remember when I met Joseph, he seemed like he was closely going out of his mind. If I'm being honest, he was struggling and didn't know where he would go or what he was going to do. Felt completely rejected by family and alone. And I remember the interviews. We did two interviews with you, I think, and you, we don't beg people to come to the program. We want to see if they're hungry for this. I don't think you were the first time. The second time, you seemed like you were really wanting the program. So tell us, I mean, you've been now a year. You're in phase two. You're working. I'll talk a little bit about that in a second. But who are you? We heard where you're from, but what condition were you in when you came to the Augusta Rescue Mission a year ago?
A year ago, I was in a condition of, like you said, just completely about to lose my mind. I just didn't know where I stood. I ran away from God for the longest. I guess I was just trying to find myself again from a 20-year being of running away from God. So I don't know.
What have you gained the most? Since you've been in the program?
What I gained the most is learning who I am in Christ. Slowly just learning that he loves me no matter what I do wrong, that no matter what I do, he's never going to leave me. So,
Where do you work and what do you do?
I work at Project Life. I help the homeless. I give out food, clothes, and I give them like resources wherever they need. So, and I normally try to pass out pamphlets for anybody who's on the street to do that same. So,
don't go anywhere. He might be a street evangelist. I'm not sure. He definitely passed out pamphlets. Joseph. So part of Jeff's role as program manager is creating connections with employability and possible employers. And we have just made a beautiful connection with Project Life, where a lot of our men who are entering phase two get an instant job with Project Life. And so they do some of the landscaping, some of the odd jobs there, if you guys know New Life Church and Project Life. And so they've hired Christian and Joseph. They've hired Butch. And Christian actually just graduated the program and is going to a new job and going to live with his mom, which he's wanted to do for a very long time. But they serve there. They work on behalf of the mission. They wear these shirts that say Augusta Rescue Mission Work Crew, but they get paid for. They get paid by Project Life. So it's such a great job. We call these recovery-friendly jobs. We're looking for jobs where we know the guy's not going to go to work and come back drunk, or was getting past a blunt on the site, you know, or something like that. So really proud of Joseph. I'll say this one testimony about Joseph. In our discipleship class, we would ask for feedback. Anyone have an answer? And he would have one, but just not sure if he should say it, you know? He's just like, never mind. And we're like, yeah, say it. And then he would say it, and it would be right. And the look of like, oh my goodness, this is right, you know? And so just watching that a year ago to now, this confidence that's not arrogant, you know, this identity is what he mentioned. So what do you have to look forward to in your future? What do you feel God is saying? You quoted the scripture about letting God speak through you like a prophet and becoming a new man, right? So you're a new man. So what do you have to look forward to that's different from your past?
What I have looking forward to is looking through God's eyes, seeing that no matter what I do, that, like I said, he will never leave me, and that I could always do what I couldn't do through him.
I'll give Joseph a hand. You're good. Praise God. Proud of you. He's alive. Amen?
Amen.
He's alive. I can't tell you how many men wrestle with mental health and suicidal thoughts and this hopelessness, and I've just watched Joseph come alive. And we always tell these men, don't worry about where you're going next. We're not creating homeless people again. You know, choices will do that, but as long as Rescue Mission is here, we're here to help you and help you grow. Amen. So praise God. All right, last but not least, we got a few more moments. Kelvin came in to the program. So just share briefly, what condition were you in when you came to the program? I remember you very clearly. You're in the overnighters. You didn't really want to be, right? So tell us a little bit about that, and then we'll go into where you are now. So. Okay.
Good morning. Again, my name is Kelvin Sullivan. I am an intern at the Augusta Rescue Mission. When I first came to Augusta Rescue Mission, I was doing what I had done 100 times before, chasing worldly things. But this time, I figured it was going to be different. The 101st time was going to be the charm for me. When I came into the mission, I don't know what happened. The second day, people knew me. The third day that I was there, Chris Jones, who I didn't know who he was, he came up to me and called me by name and shook my hand. And I could feel that this was a different experience. And the more I stayed there, they kept talking about the program. But well, in my world, they're not paying money to be in program, so what is it going to do for me? And I kept hearing, join this program can do things for you, and you could probably be a benefit to this program. The more I sat down and I thought about these things, the more they start sinking in. And the more I went to church, because one other thing I failed to mention, the first week I was there, the first 2 weeks, I had been to church more time in that 2 weeks than I had been in the last 10 years. So I'm starting to feel some things. And then I meet Jeff, who's our program director. Every time, Chris and Jeff gave me more and more responsibility. And the more responsibility I have, the less of me that I don't have to worry about. It was more about other people.
Preach that.
This is what I do. Now, I am the intern person, but you could say I'm the face of the overnight shelter. Everybody who comes there, they see me. And I interact with everybody. And one thing I've noticed, no matter how wide they were displaced or what happened, everybody there is missing something. And everybody there is missing family. And I'm going to stop talking about us and me. I want to give credit to the Vineyard community, because every third Sunday you come there, it feels like family. And the word love is mentioned more that week than, no disrespect to anyone else, but the word love is mentioned more those nights than any other time. And the guys talk about you. And Chris, he knows everybody's name. And everybody in here knows the guy's name. They take the time to thank everybody or say hello to everybody. And the word love. And I'm sorry, I don't know your last name, but Terry says, "I love you" every third Sunday.
"I love you."
And her voice cracks and she says that. So I just want to thank you guys for all of your support.
Amen.
Keep doing what you're doing so we'll be able to keep doing what we're doing. Thank you.
When I saw him this morning, I said, okay, preacher. He looked like a preacher today. I want to say this, that when he was in the overnight shelter, he didn't want to be there. He was trying to figure out what was next. He wanted to be an over-the-road truck driver, just end up wherever he would end up. And he started cleaning the shelter, like on his own. And we would walk into the homeless shelter. It would smell good. Everything was put together. And we're like, "What are you doing? You don't have to do this." And he was like, "I have to. I live here. I have to do this." And over some time, he ended up being just kind of a servant leader to these men. He went through all of phase one, all of phase two, and at the end of phase two, it was like, no-brainer, here's our intern we've been looking for. And so he became an intern, kind of paved the way to the new phase three. We've written new policy for internship. He's actually taking courses. He sits with Jeff for coaching one-on-one. He's invited to our staff meeting twice a month in our actual like rescue mission staff meeting. And he's not the only one. There's more coming down the pipeline. That's the goal, is to get these men to a place where they're able to speak and share and live and breathe and give God glory. And I want to say this, too, that when I knew his name, and then it sounds like Vineyard Community knows their names, is some of the men come to the program or to Overnight Shelter and give us a fake name. They don't tell us the real name. They don't want us to know who they really are. But something that really ministers to me is God knows who we really are. And I said this to all of my kids: I love you, but I really like you too. And there's something about God when he sees past all of our junk and all of our dirt and all of our funk, and he still really likes us for who we are in him. And so he knows us by name. Amen. And that was a big takeaway I got. You preached that to me today, is that he knows us by name. So thank you, Kelvin. Y'all give him a hand again if you don't mind. And Pastor Jeff.
Thank you. We are really honored to have you guys. Thank you for coming. Thank you guys so much for coming. I'm going to ask you to close this and ask a blessing on the church, Chris. Before, I want to just add one last thing. And, you know, a question that gets often asked, and people don't ask this, they just think this, but I know because I used to ask this question, is how could I be of any help to a bunch of homeless guys I've never met before? And I just want to tell you, it's not hard. What I learned when I first started meeting these guys 30 years ago was that they're really no different than I am at all. There's just a few choices that were made or a few circumstances or a few tragedies that happened, but we are very, very much alike. And it doesn't matter if you're a doctor or a plumber. There's a lot in common if we can get off the stage and meet each other where we are and start loving each other. And so what I had to do early on was I just forced myself out of pure conviction to go and care for the poor. But really all it means is you walk into the room and you've got Chris and you've got Kevin and Carolyn and Terry, so they'll be your buffer. They will. But you walk into the room and you just wash feet. Awesome. And what that means for me, and I've asked this question hundreds, maybe thousands of times, is I sit down with somebody and I just say, "Hey, my name's Jeff, what's your name?" "My name is John." "John, what's your story?" Stop talking, start listening, mm-hmm. and they will feel like you know their name and you actually care about them. And I've had this said to me hundreds of times, thank you for giving your Sunday night to come down here and be with us. I've had that said to me so many times in the last 20 years at that building. And it means so much. Just a glass of water, guys. So what can you do? That's what you can do. You don't have to have some super gifting. Like, you don't have to be able to talk like Chris or Chris. Okay, if you're not one of the Chris's, it's okay. If you have a pulse and ears, you can do it. Okay? Let's be a church that continues to care for the poor and experiences Jesus as a result. Amen? Amen. All right, we are right up to stopping time, so let's stand. Chris is going to ask a blessing, and we will all go in love, joy, and peace. Yep. Go for it, brother.
God doesn't need anything at all, but the scripture says, if you give to the poor, you lend to the Lord. I have no clue what it means to lend to the Lord. But we just know that if we give to the poor, that's the reward, is that we're lending to the Lord. Amen. So let me pray for you. Lord God, I thank you, as your word says, that the harvest is ready. I thank you for that. You've done such a work to prepare the harvest. But Lord, today I pray, as we leave Vineyard Community Church, I pray for the laborers. I pray for those, Lord, who would put their hand to the plow of the kingdom and never look back. I pray for those, Lord God, who may have suffered brokenheartedness or pain or loss or any of the things we've spoken of today themselves, Lord. And in that place of pain and hurt and loss or whatever they've experienced, that they would receive your kindness, your mercy, Lord, your grace and your healing. And in that receptivity of healing and mercy and grace, Lord God, that we freely receive, I pray that we would then turn around and freely give it. And Lord Jesus, I pray that as Vineyard Community Church is already paving the way as a church in this community that cares about the things you care about, I pray that each individual who's hearing this prayer today, Lord, would receive from you and then abundantly give it back out, Lord. May they sit before you. May they hear your voice. May they obey the charge and the command and love with compassion and serve others who are in need. I just simply pray that, Lord, that you would, as we seek renewal and revival and reformation and awakening, that we would find it very difficult to have those things without giving and serving the poor. Give us grace, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Bless you guys. Thank you again so much, Augusta Rescue Mission.